Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Last night in the Taraweeh, the 13th juz, which comprises of Surah Yusuf, Surah Ra'd, and Surah Ibrahim, was recited. In the first ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the statement of Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, that after being cleared of all blame and his innocence was proven, then Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam said, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي, that I do not absolve myself, my nafs, of blame. Meaning that my innocence and my remaining chaste and upright is not due to any personal achievement of mine, but rather this is the kindness of Allah that He protected me. Otherwise, my nafs, myself, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ, the nafs, by its nature, greatly incites a person to commit evil. So the nafs, its nature is that it will instruct and take a person towards evil. Illa ma rahima rabbi, except when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy upon a person, then a person will be protected from the evil promptings of his nafs. So from this we understand that a person should never attribute any piety of his, any good quality of his, to his own self. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like it when a person attributes it to himself. Rather, we attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any good that a person does, or he stays away from evil, so this is out of the tawfiq, and this is the kindness, the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's side. Our nafs, on the other hand, ourselves, it will take us always towards evil. And a person has to always be wary and careful of his nafs. In Urdu they say that bharosa kuch nahi is nafs-e ammara ka e-zahir, farishta bhi ye ho jaye to usse badgumaan hai. That even if your nafs outwardly seems to be like a farishta, still you should be wary of it. The example of the nafs is like a snake that on a cold day, so the snake lies frozen, and a person, if he thinks that the snake is dead and he picks it up, once the snake starts to feel some warmth and it will wake up, then it will sting a person, it will bite a person. So a person always has to be careful of his nafs, and any good that he experiences, he attributes it towards Allah. Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased with it. Inna Rabbi Ghafurur Rahim. Then after this, Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam now enjoyed great status, and his position was greatly enhanced in the sight of the king. So the king requested Yusuf alayhi salam to work for him, and Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam in a few days was then raised to the position of what we can say the minister of natural resources, or the finance minister of Egypt. And Yusuf alayhi salam himself asked for the position. He said, إِذْعَلْنِي عَلَىٰ خَزَائِنِ الْأَرْضِ, that appoint me over the treasures of the earth. From this here, ulama explained that when a person sees that there is harm coming, especially when it is general harm coming to some public, in some public department, or some, there is harm that is coming to the people because of the right people not being in a place of authority, people who are either incapable or who are not trustworthy, and he has the abilities, then he can request for himself to be granted that position. And then Yusuf alayhi salam mentioned two qualities that are needed whenever giving a person any duty, any task, or when employing a person, appointing him to some position, giving him some duty and responsibility. Two qualities should be found. The one is that the person should be having the ability to do and to fulfill the task. A person is employed to carry out some work. He should know how to carry out that work. He should have the ability, capability to do that work. And the second is to have the quality of trustworthiness, to be trustworthy. If any of these two qualities are lacking, if a person is very trustworthy but he can't carry out the task that is given to him, or he's very good, very capable, but he is not trustworthy. So if any of these qualities are lacking, then great harm will come about. So this is a principle that Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam indicated to Inni Hafeezun Aleem. Then Yusuf alayhi salam now enjoyed this position. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we had vested him with this authority, we had granted him this position. وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَتَبَوَّأُ مِنْهَا حَيْثُ يَشَاءُ. He could settle down, he could stay wherever he wanted in Egypt. Then, according to how Yusuf alayhi salam had predicted the interpretation of the dream, there were 7 years of drought, 7 years of first great abundance, and then that was followed by 7 years of drought. And in this time, the drought had extended not only to Egypt but the surrounding areas. So the people from the outlying areas, they came to Egypt to seek grain. And in this way, Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers also came to Egypt. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the incident in great detail of how his brothers came. And one brother, which was his real brother Binyamin, did not come. So Yusuf alayhi salam told the other brothers, the next time you come, you have to bring Binyamin. He hadn't disclosed to them that he was his brother. So the next time they came, they had to pacify the father to allow Binyamin to come with them. The father was first quite apprehensive to let Binyamin go because he had lost already one son whom he loved dearly, that was Yusuf alayhi salam. He didn't want to be separated from Binyamin. Anyway, he finally let Binyamin come. And then Yusuf alayhi salam wanted to keep Binyamin by him, his real brother. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the incident of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it possible that Binyamin could stay by Yusuf alayhi salam. And the brothers now, after Binyamin was kept back, they were greatly worried that how are they going to go back to their father, having now lost the second brother, first Yusuf and now Binyamin, whereas they had promised their father that they were going to bring Binyamin back. And then they returned back to, finally they returned back to Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. And Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah ta'ala had put it in his heart that there's something else that is happening, some other wisdom of Allah is at play. And he told his son that فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ, I would exercise beautiful patience. Beautiful patience is where a person doesn't complain, doesn't take out any word of complaint from his son, but he is patient and he controls himself. أَسَلَّهُ أَن يَأْتِيَنِي بِهِمْ جَمِيعًا, it is hope that Allah will bring all of them to me. And then he turned away from his son and started crying. He was crying profusely, so his son cautioned him that you are crying so much, you might end up dying, or you become very, very sick. Then Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam said, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ, I only complain of my distress and my grief to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So us also, we should complain only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any condition a person finds himself in difficulty, he complains to people, what can they do? They can't help him, they can't remove the difficulty. But we speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say, Afni khushi ghami Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that your happiness and your pleasure that you're experiencing, thank Allah, speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, your difficulty you are going through, speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Put your condition in front of Allah. Everything is in Allah's control. You turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, explain to Allah what difficulty you are going through. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help, for assistance. Allah ta'ala is the one who controls everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change conditions. Look at this, for so many years, Yaqub alayhi salam was separated from his two beloved sons, Yusuf alayhi salam, many, many years, over 40 years. But he complained of he put his grief and his distress in front of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then brought all his sons back to him. Then the third time now the brothers come back to Egypt. The father sent the brothers back. Go back and see what you can do. So when they came the third time, then Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam disclosed to them that he was their brother Yusuf. And the brothers were greatly surprised. They said, قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا, verily Allah has favored you over us. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Whoever adopts taqwa, whoever has the taqwa, the fear of Allah, وَيَصْبِرْ, and he is patient, he makes sabr, then Allah Ta'ala doesn't allow the reward of those who do good to go to waste. So really some ulama say this is actually the whole crux of the whole surah is in this ayah, that a person who makes taqwa, who has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doesn't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also he has sabr, then really the outcome of it will always be good. Allah Ta'ala will not allow his effort to go to waste. Then Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam told his brothers, لا تسليم عليكم اليوم. Now he had authority, he had power, he could have taken revenge, he could have, even if he doesn't take revenge, but he could have rebuked them, scolded them. But he said, لا تسليم عليكم اليوم. Today there's no blame on you. I won't take any revenge from you. I won't even blame you. يغفر الله لكم. He made dua for them, may Allah forgive you. So this is the great akhlaq that Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam displayed. And the same statement was said by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the conquest of Mecca, when now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had complete power over the Quraysh, and all the difficulties that they had put him through for so many years, they made caused him to make hijrah and leave Mecca Mukarramah. So many of his close family members and Sahaba radiallahu anhu were killed, and so much of difficulty, so much of persecution he had to undergo at their hands. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't take revenge from them, he forgave them all. So this is the magnanimity that we have to also try and instill in ourselves, that when it comes to our personal issues, then we should forgive, overlook. أحسن إلى من أساء إليك. Person does wrong to you, then you do in exchange good to him. If you can't do good, at least overlook and forgive him. We start to mention in a hadith, when a person forgives, then Allah Ta'ala only increases this person in honor, in respect. So Yusuf alayhi salam forgave his brothers, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained how Yusuf alayhi salam called the rest of his family from Canaan to Egypt, and they all came into Egypt, and when they entered and came into the presence of Yusuf alayhi salam, then they all fell down into prostration. This is a prostration of honor and respect that was allowed previously, but in our Sharia it is not allowed. And then Yusuf alayhi salam told his father that this is the interpretation of the dream which I had seen many years ago. Allah Ta'ala had made it come to reality. And then Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, when he gave the karguzari and the details of all the difficulties he had to endure, in a very beautiful way he presented it, without blaming anyone, without complaining, but he spoke rather of the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ. Allah had been very kind to me when he had taken me out of the jail. He didn't say I was sent to jail because of some sin that I had, some wrong that I hadn't committed. I was innocent and I had to be sent to jail. And then after that, for many years, I had to languish in prison and it was so difficult. No. He said that Allah was kind to me, Allah took me out of the jail. So in a short way, he mentioned that he was in jail, but in a positive way, Allah took me out of jail. And regarding the wrongs he had to suffer at the hands of his brothers and being separated from his family, he didn't complain. For so many years I was away from you, my whole life is gone, has passed. No. وَجَاءَ بِكُمْ مِنَ الْبَدْوِ. And Allah Ta'ala has favored us, that Allah Ta'ala has brought you people from the village. مِنْ بَعْدِ نَزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي. After Shaytan created this discord between myself and my brothers. So there also, he didn't blame his brothers, speak of the wrong that they done. He said, no, this was something that Shaytan caused between us. But Allah Ta'ala was kind, Allah Ta'ala brought you people back and united us again. So a person should also, in the way he speaks, try and bring this type of approach to his speech. إِنَّ رَبِّي لَطِيفٌ لِمَا يَشَاءُ. Then Yusuf alayhi salam said that verily Allah is very kind, and Allah Ta'ala is very subtle in his planning for whomsoever he wishes. Ulama explained that look at the great wisdom in all the doings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes outwardly, Allah Ta'ala will cause a person to go through some difficulty. He'll close some doors for a person, but that is in order to open up other doors. So Yusuf alayhi salam had to go, was thrown into the well. From the well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in what a way, what a subtle way, what a amazing way Allah Ta'ala made it such, that those travelers came, they took him to Egypt. When he was sold in Egypt, he was bought, not by any normal person, but he was bought by the Aziz, person who had a position of a high position in society, so he could grow up in the house of the Aziz, learn the etiquette and the ways of conducting oneself with the higher class of people, because later on he was going to become the chief minister, or he would have a great authority and rule in Egypt. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his planning is very, very subtle. Then Yusuf alayhi salam had to go to jail. in jail, those two people had to come and ask him the interpretation. Then that person had to go and work for the king. Then the king had to see a dream. That person must remember, I must go, Yusuf, there's somebody in jail who can interpret the dream. Then he had to go back. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his planning is very, very subtle. In a very secret way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes things happen. We really can't understand the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's dream. So also when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person, for example, he wants rizq, he wants sustenance. So don't think that how is Allah going to provide for me? Allah is going to give me, I must get this business, I must get this job. No, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how it will happen, how Allah ta'ala will grant it to you, leave it to Allah. Your mind is very small, your thinking is very deficient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has power, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has control of everything. Allah, leave it up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to grant you, He'll grant you in a way you can never ever fathom, you could never ever understand. So, إِنَّ رَبِّي لَطِيفٌ لِمَا يَشَاءُ. My Rabb is very subtle in His planning for whomsoever He wishes. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. The next surah is Surah Al-Ra'd. Ra'd means thunder. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a Madani surah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains many of the essentials of deen. Example, the great qudrat and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by explaining His different creation, the sun, the heavens, the earth, and the mountains, and the different types of crops that grow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains His qudrat and power behind all of these things. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also explains regarding the thunder, وَيُسَبِّحُ الرَّعْدُ بِحَمْدِهِ, that the thunder and the angel who's in charge of the clouds, they make the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they also praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ, and the other malaika, the other angels as well, مِنْ خِيْفَتِهِ, out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then also mentions some of the qualities of the people of intelligence. The people of intelligence, they have these qualities, الَّذِينَ يُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ, they fulfill the pledge that they have taken with Allah. We accept that Allah is our Rabb, so we will be obedient to Him. And وَلَا يَنْقُضُونَ الْمِيثَاقَ, other pacts that they enter into was amongst themselves, they don't break it. When a person gives his word, then he should uphold whatever he has taken himself to. And وَالَّذِينَ يَصِلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَيُوصَلَ, that which Allah has commanded, be joined. Example, family ties. A person joins it and he upholds it. وَيَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ, they have the fear of Allah. وَيَخَافُونَ سُوءَ الْحِسَابِ, they have fear regarding the akhirat and regarding reckoning on the day of Qiyamah, to give reckoning for a person's deeds. وَالَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا, and they are steadfast and patient. إِبْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِمْ, with sincerity seeking the pleasure of Allah. They establish salah and they pay off, they spend of what Allah Ta'ala has provided them. They spend secretly and they spend openly. وَيَدْرَؤُونَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ السَّيِّئَةِ, they repel evil with good. Then Allah Ta'ala says, for such people will be the good outcome of the next life. They will receive garden of eternity where they will stay forever, and Allah will join with them their families, their fathers and their wives and their offspring, and the angels will enter unto them from every door greeting them, سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِمَا صَبَرْتُمْ فَنِعْمَ عُقْبَ الدَّارِ. Like how we've seen a person, the people enter unto him and they greet him, and here the malaika will come and greet these people, and they will say, peace be unto you because of your remaining steadfast, your persevering, and what a great and wonderful outcome of this life you have received. So we should make an effort to inculcate these qualities in our life. And the next surah, that was the last surah that was recited, was the surah Ibrahim. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also explains the da'wah of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam was to take people out of darknesses, the darkness of kufr, shirk, disobedience of Allah, and bring them into the nur of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala explains that Musa alayhi salatu wa salam also, he had to invite his people, and he made an effort on his people. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, after his people were delivered from Fir'aun, he told them, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ, that Allah Ta'ala has announced, if you are grateful, if you make shukr, then I will most definitely increase you. A great favor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. He saved us from the clashes of Fir'aun. Fir'aun who was tormenting us, he was killing our children, he was taking our women as slaves. Now Allah Ta'ala has saved us from this. Allah has given us other bounties and favors, man and silwa, food from Jannah. So make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says that if you make shukr, if you are grateful, I will increase you. I will most definitely increase you. Shukr is, firstly, a person should attribute that bounty to the one who has given it to him. That every bounty we have, we attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After a person eats, he says, Alhamdulillah, Allah ta'ala has given me this food. Person wakes up from his sleep, he says, Alhamdulillah, Allah is the one who has given me sleep. Any bounty, you attribute it to the one who has given it. That's the first part of shukr. Second is, you should praise the being who has given it. You say, Alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third thing is to utilize that bounty in a correct manner. Everything that Allah has given us, we utilize it correctly. Our eyes, our ears, our tongue, our brains, everything, we use it in the correct way, in the obedience of Allah. Wealth Allah ta'ala has given us, we use it in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our strength, our body, we use everything in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person will make shukr, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase a person. A person is given the tawfiq to do good, he makes shukr, he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala will increase him in his tawfiq of doing good. Allah has given a person wealth. So even if it's a little wealth, understand and realize, I'm not worthy of this here. Because of my sins, I'm not supposed to even get this here. And Allah ta'ala has been so kind to me. Make shukr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase a person. Good health, make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala will grant a person more good health. وَلَئِن كَفَرْتُمْ. But on the other hand, if you are ungrateful, إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٍ, then my punishment is very, very severe. The highest form of ungratefulness is a person doesn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person makes kufr and shirk. He doesn't attribute the ni'mat to Allah, and he rejects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Highest form of nashukri. And lower forms of nashukri also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my punishment is severe. Part of the punishment could be that the ni'mat that a person is enjoying, he could lose that ni'mat also. So we have to inculcate the quality of shukr in ourselves. And then towards the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, that after the city of Mecca had been established, the dua that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made, and this is also a lesson for us to teach us that how and what dua we should make to Allah, and how we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, oh my Rabb, make the city a place of peace, and save myself and my progeny from the worship of idols. Ibrahim alayhi salam was the father of Tawheed. From a young age, he had an aversion to idol worship, to shirk. He broke the idols when he was still a small boy. But here he's making dua to Allah to show us that we also have to turn to Allah and beg Allah to keep us with iman, to preserve us from iman, save us from kufr and shirk. At no time should a person feel that I am safe, I am protected. But we always should be dependent on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. So, وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَا نَعْبُدَ الْأَسْنَامِ. Then further on, he speaks about the city of Mecca, that, oh Allah, I have settled my progeny, my wife and my child, in such a valley where there is no plantation, there is no vegetation, by your protected and your sacred house. Oh my Rabb, the reason I put them here is to establish salah, so cause the hearts of people to be inclined towards them, and provide them from the fruits of all different things, so that they may be grateful. Oh my Rabb, verily you know what we conceal and what we expose. Nothing is hidden from Allah in the earth nor in the heavens. All praise to Allah who has granted me despite my old age, Ismail and Ishaq. Verily my Rabb, hears the call and hears the prayers of everyone. Oh my Rabb, make me an establisher of salah, one who establishes prayer, and also from my progeny. And my Rabb, accept my prayer. And oh my Rabb, oh our Rabb, forgive me, forgive my parents, and all the believers on the day of Qiyamah. So, this is a beautiful dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. You should try and learn these duas, and also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using these words. The best duas that a person can make are the duas of the Quran. Second, those duas which are found in the hadith, then a person can make dua in his own words. Allah ta'ala grant us all the correct understanding.